The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, and honor your father and your mother." But he replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these things I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." His disciples were amazed at his words, so Jesus said to them again, "How hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one rich person to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said to themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." The Gospel of the Lord. If you read the three synoptic Gospels about this story, this rich young man, it will tell you who he really was. And I know that many of you at home have your Bibles out and you're going to make notes. You'll find it in the 19th chapter of Matthew and in chapter 18 in the Gospel of Luke, and it's here, chapter 10 in Mark. And putting all three accounts together, we will learn that he is a young man, he is a ruler, he's a person of power, he's rich. And he runs up to Jesus. He has everything in life that the world can give, but there is something missing from his life, something that money can't buy and power cannot provide. There's an urgency about the manner in which he's portrayed in these accounts. He comes running up to Jesus. He has something disturbing in his life. Even though he appears to have everything, there is a deeper reality missing from his life. And he says to Jesus, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." But this is a sincere and good person. So he said, "I have kept all these commandments since I was young." Jesus, it says in Mark, he looked at him and he loved him. He saw this man's goodness. "But there is one thing that you need to do," he says there in Mark. If you read Matthew's account, it says, "If you want to be perfect," and perfect is a bad translation of the Greek. The Greek word is teleios, which means if you want to be whole, if you want to be a whole person and find your deepest self and the richness that's in you, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. This is not just a teaching for this rich young man. This is a teaching for the apostles, his followers who are listening to him, because they hear what he says and they are astonished. So what does this say to us, followers of Jesus Christ? What's interesting about this is there's a fellow named Nicodemus, and he appears in John's Gospel in chapter 3 in the Gospel of John. And it says he comes to Jesus by night. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. He's obviously a prominent ruler, important person, and well-off person in the Jewish tradition. Yet he comes to Jesus, John tells us, by night. That doesn't mean after dark. In the Gospel of John, coming by night means he is in darkness. There's something missing from his life. Something has escaped him in his life. He has some deep questions that the world cannot answer. So he comes to Jesus by night and he said, "What can I do to get life?" And Jesus said, "You must be born again." Remember that. So also there's a fellow appears in the 15th chapter of Mark in the burial of Jesus. His name is Joseph of Arimathea. You will remember that. And it says he's a wealthy man and a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, what's interesting here is Jesus did not tell Nicodemus he has to give up his wealth. He does not tell Joseph of Arimathea, in order to be a follower, he must give up his wealth. But there's something about this young man that Jesus gives him this counsel, which he does not give to the others. So what is it about this young man that becomes a teaching for us? Whenever I read these scriptures, my hope is to find myself in the Word of God. That's true for every one of us. When we read the Bible and read the Word of God, if we are to bring it to life, we'll have to find ourselves in the Word, present in the Word, alive in the Word. And the Word will shape us, but only if we find ourselves in the living Word of God. So I have read this many times, and it reminds me to go back many, many years ago. In 1975, I was 35 years old. I was a young Monsignor down at the Archdiocese, and I thought I was a person of great importance. I was graciously arrogant. I was legalistic. I was a company man. I was part of the system. But there was something somehow missing out of my life. So I began to read the exercises of St. Ignatius, the Jesuit spirituality. And I discovered the foundation, the beginning of a journey in Ignatius spirituality has to do with detachment. Now, I will learn this very quickly, because in 1975, I went to this extraordinary Jesuit priest, John McAnulty, very deeply holy man and a wise man. And I said, "John, I would like you to be my spiritual director." He didn't say yes. He said, "How seriously do you want to take the spiritual life?" And I said, "John, look, I'm just a guy. I'm 35 years old. I mean, I'm searching." John said, "Okay. Why don't we begin to discuss poverty, chastity, and obedience? Why don't you come back in 2 weeks and we'll talk about poverty?" Okay, so I went away and I thought about poverty in my life. And I came back after 2 weeks and I sat across from John at the House of Prayer. And I said, "John, I think I'm doing fairly good with the poverty." I'm sure he said, "I have no idea where this guy came from." So he said, I said, "John, I don't have any savings. I save $800 a year to go home to see my family in Ireland. Anything else I have, I give it away." And he said, "Do you find it easy to give it away?" And I said, "Well, yeah. I mean, they give me food, they give me shelter, they give me a car, they pay my expenses. The church takes care of me, so I don't need it." And he said to me, "If it's that easy to give away, you're not giving away your riches." Oh, he said, Your riches are something else. Ambition, power, control, recognition, whatever it is, but money is not your riches. The fact that you might be detached from money does not lead you into Ignatius and detachment. You have to look at ambition, power, control, having the last word, getting your way, recognition, applause, all these things. You don't have to give it up. You just have to become detached. So I went away and I thought about that. And John, over a period of almost 30 years, I saw that man every 3 weeks. I did 3 long retreats with him, the 30-day retreats. And I did an 8-day retreat every year, and he changed my life. Now, it's not something you do once, and you think you have arrived at some level of virtue and perfection. This is something you have to work on all the time. I mean, how controlling am I? Must I have the last word? Must I get my way? The person who is not detached will be visited by jealousy and anxiety, frustration, tension, because things are not going the right way or the way the person wants it to go. So it's something that has to remain with us all the time. And it's a teaching for the followers of Jesus Christ. And I said, well, but John, how will I know what my riches are? Oh, he said, you'll know. Because when somebody touches it, you'll say, don't touch that, that's mine. Or that's my space, I don't want you in my space. And by the way, I'm in charge, just want to remind you of that. I am in control of the situation, and it's my call. When you find yourself talking this way, you are touching the fringes of your riches. And you have to detach yourself. So that if something gets away from you, you don't get anxious. You don't get angry. You don't make judgments about people. That's detachment. That's exactly what Jesus says to this young man. Whatever there was about this young man, which was not true for Nicodemus or for Joseph of Arimathea, whatever about this man, he had this attachment to his riches. And it's a good thing for every one of us to begin to look deep inside ourselves and to wonder how attached we are to our riches, whatever our riches may be. When I was a teenager in London, I first went to see the Man for All Seasons at the Globe Theatre. I wasn't much familiar with Thomas More at the time, but as you know, it's the story of Thomas More. He was the most powerful man after the king, the second most powerful man in the realm. He was the chancellor of the realm. But he refused to sign the Act of Supremacy, where Henry VIII would be the head of the church and the Pope would be eliminated. And for this, he died. But there was a young man in the court. His name was Richard Rich. And Richard Rich comes to him and he says, I want to be part of the glitterati, part of the important young people in the household of the king. And Thomas More says, but Richard Rich, he said, why don't you be a teacher? And he said, a teacher? He said, if I'm a teacher, who will know who I am? What importance is there about being a teacher? And he says, well, your students will know, and you will know, and best of all, God will know. But Richard Rich wasn't satisfied. He was ambitious. So he betrayed Thomas More, and had him sent to the gallows, for which he was rewarded with being tax collector for whales. And as Thomas More is walking toward the Tower of London, anticipating his death, he walks past the various people of the court of the king, and he comes upon Richard Rich, and he's wearing the emblem for the tax collector of Wales. And he pauses and he looks at him and he says, "Rich, it profits not a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul, but for Wales?" So what does it profit us if we don't have the freedom of a disciple to follow Jesus Christ?